that the tongue comes out of, let me back up and say that one of the main gates that our heart uses is our tongue. And so as our heart begins to wander in a non-spiritual direction, then it begins to find its way out through the tongue, and we find all kinds of issues. So I'm going to read our passage this morning in James chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12 that says, "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. The one who speaks evil against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor?" And it was because of that last phrase that I entitled this message, "Who Do You Think You Are?" And we're going to look at this passage here this morning. I was thinking of an illustration I heard many years ago. And there was a young man who was standing on a city street, and he was going on. He was slandering other people and gossiping. And an older gentleman came up to him, and he said, "Young man, let me show you something." He said, "Come with me." And so the two went up to the top of this tall building, and up on the top it was windy, and they were talking, and the older gentleman said to the young man, "I want you to take this newspaper, and I want you to rip it up in small confetti-like pieces." And so the young man, wondering what he was talking about, did it anyway, and he ripped this newspaper all up into very small pieces. And then the older man said to him, "Now I want you to take all of that confetti, and I want you to throw it off of the building." And it was a windy day. And so all of that confetti and pieces of that newspaper just blew everywhere. Some of it blew for miles before it came down to the street. Some of it blew up the alleyway. Some of it went down the gutters along the street. And it didn't take long, and it was all gone. And then the older man turned to the younger man and said to him, "Now, I want you to go down and gather up all of those pieces." And the young man was horrified, and he said, "Well, that's impossible. Some of them have blown miles away." And the older man said, "You know, when you gossip and talk about other people, that's exactly what happens. You can never take it back again. You can never correct it again. What has come out has already come out, and it can't be taken back." Well, today's passage is exactly about that. And it's a difficult passage, really. A difficult passage to preach on. It's a difficult passage because all of us, to one degree or another, are guilty of allowing our tongue to get out of control. We have probably, all of us, at one point or another, been slandered in our lives, and we know very personally the feeling and the damage and the hurt that comes from slander and gossip, and so the passage becomes, in that sense, difficult to deal with. But James was confronting a very serious problem in the church in his day. Within the church, there were fights and there were quarrels. And of course, the tongue was very much involved as people were condemning each other and as they were slandering each other within the church, and the church was risking divisions. And Peter had reminded them already in chapter 3 and verse 6 that the tongue is a very destructive force. It sets on fire the entire course of life. And it is set on fire by hell itself. And so I'd like to take this passage and just think together with you this morning a little bit about the warning that James tells us. Now, one thing that we do have to remember as we look at this, chapters 3 and 4, I believe, of the book of James are all about this tongue. And there are different aspects that he talks about concerning the tongue. And I believe that these two verses, verses 11 and 12, are the conclusion of this whole section on the tongue. And so therefore, we're going to go back a number of times, and we're going to look at what we've already studied about the tongue. The first thing I would like to say is that we are commanded in the Word of God, His people, to honor one another. To honor one another and to love one another. And this verse of Scripture obviously is telling us something very contrary to that. But the lesson is that we need to honor one another. And so James begins in verse 11 by saying, "Don't speak evil against one another, brothers." Because to speak evil here really means to defame or to slander someone. Now, here in the beginning, and we don't have time to deal with it this morning, we understand that James is talking about this uncontrolled slander, which is public, of someone's faults or their perceived thoughts. There are times in the Bible when we are called upon to judge, or we're called upon to correct other people, etc. We know that in a very personal way, if someone sins against us, we're told that we are to go to them privately. And privately, we try to gain a brother. We also know that in the Scripture, the church is the local church is to judge when there is sin in their midst. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul challenged the church when there was sin going on, and the church was making no judgment concerning that sin. And he said, "Is there no one among you that can judge?" We also know that the civil authorities are given the authority of God to judge in society. And so Peter reminded us that the sword was not given to them for nothing. And they are to judge, they are to execute, etc. But that is not what James is talking about in this verse. He's talking about, in a public way, when we slander someone or when we defame them. Slander is so damaging that we in our society even have laws against that. And people have been prosecuted in the law for slander. And yet, it is so easy for any of us to become involved in that. And I began to wonder, well, what causes a believer to want to tear down another believer? And as I was thinking about that, I began to realize that James has been telling us several things along the way in chapters 3 and 4 that lead up to this and allow us to see what is in the heart coming out through the tongue and causes us to slander one another. And the first one that I thought of And we see this in chapter 4 and verse 6, is that pride wells up within an individual. And pride is that feeling of superiority. And it causes us to resent someone else for appearing to do something or feel something, do something that is better than we can do. But in another sense, it causes a person, pride now, causes a person who has a weakness, it causes us to look at a person who has a weakness and use that to lift ourselves up and make ourselves look better. And so pride comes to the surface, and immediately we start saying things that are going to help us to look better before people. That's pride. In our heart, though we don't like to recognize it, our reaction is to try to knock them down a peg or two. And we do this verbally. And this verbal intent that comes out of pride is what James is challenging us with and talking about this morning. The pride that works its way out through the tongue. In James 4 and verse 6, James tells us that God opposes the proud. And so if we are involved in pride and allowing that pride to become the instrument of slandering people, we are putting ourselves in a position where God is opposing us and against us, and we will not experience the blessings of God. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." This is a passage where Paul is dealing with different gifts. And reminding the church at that point that we all have different gifts. You know something? We all excel in some area as believers. We excel at some area in our lives. But none of us excel in every area. And so we do things, let's say, to use the phrase, better maybe than someone else, but they do things better than us according to the gifts that we have. I remember in one of my former churches, I was preaching on spiritual gifts. And there was a fellow came in, and I knew him well, and he sat on the last row of the last pew there in the church, way in the back. And I said to the congregation, "Nobody has all of the gifts. I don't have all of the gifts." And he just called right out in the congregation, "Why not?" Well, God has not given any one of us all of these gifts. We all excel in one area or the other. But Satan comes in through our pride, and because we excel in one area, right away we begin to think that we are better in all areas of our lives. And this is what Paul is talking about, pride coming in and causing us then to say things and defame one another. God gave us all of these special abilities. We are all better at something, but none of us have all of these gifts. Love causes us to appreciate the differences within the body. And you know, when the body of believers come together, We all have different gifts, and it takes all of those gifts through all of those people to come together in order that the will of God be performed. And it is the love that should be in our hearts as believers that causes us then to recognize the good accomplishments of others around us and to appreciate them. Love causes us to esteem others better than ourselves. Well, the second thing I thought of, and James mentions it here in this passage, is jealousy. Jealousy is resenting someone who is honored. It's a person that can't stand to sit and listen when another person is being honored or awarded or verbally praised. Right away, there's that resentment that wells up within them. And that's why in chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15 of James, he says, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic." Wow, how we as believers in Jesus Christ need to guard our hearts and relate to the people around us in a godly way. How we need to allow our tongues to express itself in a godly way. We are not called to resent one another. We are commanded to love one another. Love causes us to rejoice when others are honored. Well, there was a third one. The third one is covetousness. Covetousness makes us want and desire what somebody else has. And we just can't stand to see somebody else have something that we want. We feel we need to get it. James tells us chapter 4 and verse 2, he says, "You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel." And so we see that the tongue in its fighting and quarreling is doing that because of the covetousness. If we look at Exodus 20:17, part of the Ten Commandments, it tells us, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey." We might substitute his automobile today, right? His ox or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Love causes the believer to be content with such things as we have. To be content with what God has given us. If we are not content with that which God has given us, we're going to begin to lash out at those that have something more than we have. I remember one time, and those of you that are from our congregation know that Barbara and I were missionaries in Brazil. And part of that time, we lived up on one of the rivers of the tributaries of the Amazon River. Matter of fact, that's where Cindy was born. And we were in this city, or this town, this little village along the river called Manicoré on the Rio Madeira. And there was a boy working for me. Really, he came out of an Indian tribe. And he was brought to that area, and he was working with me on our launch. Our launch was our only means of transportation down in the Amazon. And one day we were down on the launch working, and we were talking, and Brazil had just come through this revolution, if you will, against communism. And this was back in the early 60s. And so the subject came up, and I was going on telling him about some of the evils of communism, etc. He looked at me, I'll never forget it, and he said, "Yeah, but Pastor, you know, just to see the rich lose everything they have and get down and work shoulder to shoulder with us is worth it all." That's covetousness. That's covetousness. Speaking evil and judging others is a sin against our neighbors, and it is a sin against God. Mark 31, that Pastor Keith read to us earlier, it says, the second, talking about the greatest commandment, there are two of them. The first and now the second. And the second, he says, the second is this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now, for the kids that are listening and from our church, they're familiar with this and sitting there with their papers just waiting for me to say this, that our big idea here is that we must love God and love each other. Now, all the kids are scrambling to write in the words there, God and other. And that's our key thought. If, and this first section that we're talking about, we're talking about our love for one another. If we love one another, all of these areas in our lives are already covered and taken care of because we love and we want to see them, see the very best. If we really love our neighbor as ourselves, you know what? We will desire the very best for them. We will rejoice in their successes. We will rejoice in what they have. When there are people who are rich, who are close to us, we'll rejoice that God blessed them with what they have. We will esteem others better than ourselves. That is the core of the whole thing, the way God wants us to live our lives in relation to one another. The abuse of this principle causes fights and quarrels. This is the only way to have peace, the only way to have unity. And I would wager to say that probably most of the church splits that we see today are caused because of proud, jealous, covetous people speaking evil or judging one another. People are hurt with this when our tongue runs loose. People are pushed out of our churches. People are damaged. Pastors are hurt and damaged. Pastors are pushed out of their churches and many times never to return. Paul warns us in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. Imagine, the whole law of God is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love is that word. And we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. But watch. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out. that you are not consumed by one another. Whoa, what a warning. Well, the second thing, and we'll not be as long on this point, is that we are to honor God's law. And I remember one time when I was in Bible college, one of our professors who had been a pastor told about a woman that had been in one of his previous congregations and had children who spiritually were very successful. And he asked her one day, "What would you say is the main reason that your children have turned out so well spiritually?" She looked at him and she said, "Well, I always taught my children three things. Number one, that there is no book like God's book. And number two, there is no day like God's day. And the third one was, there are no people like God's people." Wow. I'm telling you, those three things just hit home with me. But we as God's people should love one another and honor one another. You see, there is no book like God's book. There is no day like God's day, and there are no people like God's people. They are special people. And so James tells us in verses 11 and 12, the one who speaks evil against his brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. That is God's law. If we are speaking evil against one another, we are speaking evil against that very law of God. God tells us to love one another. When we judge and condemn others, we're breaking God's law. When we defame one another, we are breaking God's law. When we put others down in order to lift ourselves up, we are breaking God's law. We become hypocrites. We become judges of the very law of God. We judge that the law is good for others, but not good for ourselves. We actually judge God Himself, who is the giver of that law. We make ourselves judges. We judge the law as being unfair. It's unfair that I can't criticize other people. We judge the law not to be right. I don't believe that. That's not right. Now we're placing ourselves above the very law of God. We are the judges of that law. We judge that we know better than God's law. I know that the Bible says that, but I don't agree with that. I think we're judging the very law of God. Or possibly, we judge the law as not really being that important anyway. And we minimize the law of God. We become judges of the law of God. And as James says, we are not doers of the law. We become judges of the law. Well, the last thing, and very concisely as we wind up this morning, is that James tells us that there is only one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and destroy. You know, stop and think about that for a minute. It is God who is able to save. It is God who is able to destroy. On which side of that equation do we stand? He blesses the obedient. He punishes the disobedient. It is no small thing that we defame people and talk against them. The law prohibits that. And so James then ends with a phrase that we mentioned in the beginning. Who are you to judge your neighbor? Or, our message title, who do you think you are to judge the very law of God? Well, just briefly and in summary, James has already told us what we need to do about that. And Pastor Keith preached on this last week. And in James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10, those verses that just precede this, he gives us a list. Number one, submit to God. We need to submit to God, to His Word, to His law. Number two, resist the devil. Sometimes it's not easy. We need to stand up and resist. We need to draw near to God. We need to cleanse our hands. That is the things that we're doing. We need to cleanse our hands. We need to purify our hearts because out of our hearts flow all of these evils. James already has told us we are to mourn and weep. How many times do we mourn and weep for that which we have done? And lastly, he tells us to humble ourselves. And then he ends with this. And we end with this morning. Then God will lift you up. You see, when we act rightly before God, and we are growing spiritually, then God lifts us up. Not when we're living contrary. And the contrary issue we're talking about this morning is the use of our tongue. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our God and our Father, we have to admit to you that our tongue is an evil, and we become guilty of not using it correctly. And we ask, Lord, for your forgiveness, for tearing others down, destroying their good name in talking about them, maybe out of our own pride, maybe out of our own covetousness, whatever. We are not walking with you, and so we fall to this evil. Forgive us and help us that we might grow in you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.